P-minus 70. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado.
How much worse was that than you expected?
Tara Ford asked, turning to her sister Emma as the Blitz News report on the supposed cover-up at Dortolu Tepe ended.
It's nothing we can't deal with,
Emma said, shaking her head in a manner that looked rather casual. While this appeared to settle Tara's nerves somewhat, as evidenced by the immediate relaxing of her shoulders, Dan was paying far too much attention to Emma's expression to think she was anything but shocked by how far Jan Geller had gone. Dan himself was surprised by not only how far Jan had gone, but also how fast, in that she had just blown the whole load in one fell swoop. In one regard, this removed the potentially exhausting stress of worrying about when the rest of the information would have been made public, a stress that would likely have become unbearable and left the group with little option but to have taken matters into their own hands in opting to actively manage the message by beating Jan to the final punch. In another, more immediate regard, however, Jan's rapid-fire reveal of every single image and video file from Dortolu Tepe offered all the solace of three bullets to the heart fired in case the first and second didn't quite hit their mark. Geller had taken no chances and left nothing to the viewer's imagination, moving beyond the old tried and tested attention-maximizing technique of drip-feeding a major revelation slowly in a manner that would have ensured colossal ratings for each additional, heavily advertised revelation. Indeed, going further still than merely leaving nothing to the imagination, Jan had evidently attempted to preemptively ensure that her viewers were imagining only the worst things. Hostility and danger at the hands of the previously unknown giant aliens shown in the carvings, and a nefarious betrayal at the hands of the ICA's leading planetary liaisons. In a room containing those three planetary liaisons in the form of Godfrey, Dan, and Tara, this point wasn't lost. Although Dan could sense that Emma's level of shock over the precise angle Jan had taken was at least as great as anyone else's, he understood perfectly well why she was downplaying it. At least, he thought he understood, and he thought she was downplaying it. But something Clark said as he issued his own initial reaction to the news report indicated that perhaps this wasn't the case.
"This is bad," the elder McCarthy brother said. "Like, she literally couldn't have done anything worse unless she'd had spy cam footage of us talking about secrets or something like that. But we've known she was going to do something like this ever since we found out Masut's stuff was stolen, and the main thing is that you guys are back in one piece. This is bad, like I said, but 10 minutes ago we didn't have room in our minds to worry about what would happen with the stolen images because we were so worried about you guys. Dan, Tara, you were gone for way longer than we expected. Even if we were all pretending to be pretty calm when we spoke about it out loud, we were all starting to think something had gone majorly wrong. So, yeah, this is bad, but like Emma said, it's something we can deal with. There was nothing we could do to bring you guys back any sooner, so I'm just glad to be out of that horrible, helpless zone where we've all spent far too long in the past few years."
William Godfrey, standing with a pensive hand on his chin, nodded in support of Clark's words and straightened his back as though stirred by the comments. He glanced back and forth between Leisha and Emma, as though trying to more fully read both of their nonverbal reactions. Leisha's news that New Kerguelen had descended into even greater chaos than Earth during the trio's absence was alarming and hadn't fully sunk in due to Jan Geller's unwelcome intervention beginning just seconds after he first announced it. The alien's face looked no more troubled now than before Jan had spoken, which didn't surprise Godfrey, given both that Clark and Emma were right about this issue being something they could at least actively attempt to deal with, and also that the apparent desolation on New Kerguelen was a very natural thing for him to be preoccupied with. The relative pettiness of human secrets and media manipulation, however consequential they were when the stakes were this high, understandably took second place in Leisha's mind to so much of New Birchwood having been burned to the ground, and no one could begrudge him that. The ICA's inaugural chairman said nothing, but if anyone had been looking at his expression, they would have known that his thoughts were running at a mile a minute, as options tumbled around his brain like pancakes being flipped.
So I guess it goes without saying that you are going to take her up on the Focus 2020 challenge? Chip Petrovich interjected, directly facing Emma to address the question to her. I know tomorrow night feels like a long way away, but...
For sure, Emma said. On both parts, it is a long way away and there's a lot to be done before then, but we can't run away. And if I publicly accept the challenge right away, then it shows we're not trying to hide. My gut says Geller probably hasn't cleared the whole Focus 2020 idea with the network or Marion de Klerk, but it's going to be way too big of a deal for anyone to back down, including and especially us.
At last, Godfrey spoke up. Right. Us. I'll be with you on the panel, Emma, he said. One little part of me sees sense in trying to keep an element of surprise and not letting them know that Dan and I will be there. Dan, I think it goes without saying you'll be with us too, because we need them to be on the back foot. Needless to say, though, this isn't a game or even the usual kind of political brinksmanship. We need to do the utilitarian thing, whatever causes the least problems and whatever helps with the disorder that's already happening. As muted talking heads on the projector screen reacted to Jan Geller's hyperbolic fear-mongering, their mouths flapping excitedly like those of ventriloquists' dummies, Leisha broke his own proverbial silence by sending a telepathic thought to all of his patch-wearing human friends.
The situation on New Kerguelen is grave, but the disorder has quickly been brought under control, the troubled alien announced. The worst has already passed, and our future is one of rebuilding. Here, however, the worst is on the way. For your planet mates, seeing those carvings of the architects would have been frightening and unsettling, even if they had emerged during a calmer time, and even if those fools had not tried so hard to make it all seem as frightening as possible. When the first plaques were found and revealed, Sacco and I were surprised by how badly humanity reacted. We didn't expect such a fearful response from such ambiguous messages. But this time, I have that experience to draw on. I will defer to Emma and Chairman Godfrey today in terms of how best to mitigate disorder in the next 24 hours, but I explicitly insist on appearing tomorrow night to address the fools and their peddling of fear. They have gotten away with this for too long, and it ends here.
You want to actually be on the show? Clark asked, his tone supportive, like, to speak. Leisha performed his familiar slow nod.
Perhaps via the communications table we used at the United Nations, so our enemies are not reliant on any of you relaying my words, and so we do not have to grant them access to any patches.
Emma and Godfrey shared a quick glance, the latter quietly pleased that Leisha had thrown in the chairman title when referring to him moments earlier. Without needing to say anything, both clearly approved of the idea for Leisha to so decisively step out of the shadows. His use of the word enemies didn't go unnoticed either, and somehow offered a degree of reassurance. Everyone in the group knew Leisha was on their side until the bitter end, naturally, but hearing so explicitly that he considered Jan Geller and the powerful forces around her as enemies was nevertheless more than welcome. In the meantime, decisions had to be made about the best time for Dan, Tara, and Godfrey to step out of the shadows, too.
All anyone else knows is what I said in the TV speech I did for my office yesterday, Emma said, struggling to believe it really had only been one full day since Godfrey had been so publicly abducted from his podium at the ICA. Phil Norris had since been killed, while the brave trio of explorers had since ventured across a previously unexplored gate. The general public knew none of this, with all they had to go on being Emma's line that Godfrey and Dan were assisting the messengers in dealing with an ill-defined problem on New Kerguelen. There had been a great deal of truth in this, since at the time Dan had been on New Kerguelen trying to deal with the issues caused by the gate's discovery, and Godfrey had been taken by Sacco for his input on the same matter, but the devil was most certainly in the detail. The new details Leisha had just brought from New Kerguelen, and even more so the details his exploration group had brought from Sanctuary, offered a way forward. Billy's absence was a potentially complicating factor, as Emma realized only too well, but Leisha seemed utterly convinced that he could be recovered the following evening, just as soon as Jan Geller and her chaos-seeding cabal had been sent packing. That the cabal now seemed to include both President Slater and Prime Minister Cole was a development no one could have seen coming, at least in regards to Slater's apparent move to the dark side, but all these developments served to do in Emma's mind was reinforce the destabilizing wildcard effect of a power vacuum. Godfrey's disappearance, and perhaps more accurately, the uncertainty over whether he would ever return, had flipped global politics on its head, and with every second of thought Emma gave to Slater's position, she came to understand that winning Cole's trust before stabbing him in the back was probably the wisest move at the president's disposal, as Machiavellian as it was. Hitching her cart to an absent chairman would have been an impossible position to maintain for long, and it was no secret within circles of power that Slater had been getting more than a little tired of being an afterthought whenever Godfrey was assembling a team to react to alien-related developments. "It's Timo," Dan suddenly said, reading the word from Emma's phone before the ringtone even began to air. Having reacted instantly to the phone's initial vibration on the table beside him, he held it out to Emma. "Take it," she suggested, not wanting to keep the Italian waiting. Dan picked up. "Hello?" The line was quiet for a few uncertain seconds. "Dan? When did—" "Oh, it can wait. I'm glad you're safe. Please pass this to Emma and Godfrey, okay? It's a new message from Masut." "Hang on," Dan said, lifting the phone away from his ear and activating its speaker mode. "Okay, go. Everyone else, this is a new message from Masut." Timo cleared his throat and began to read. "If what I'm about to do goes wrong, I'm sorry for everything. If you're in touch with the aliens, please don't let them interfere. The course of action I'm taking here is a considered one, even if it seems rash. Please give my thanks to Billy for all he's done for me, my begrudging thanks to Godfrey for getting us out, and my endless thanks to Dan and his family for their relentless pursuit of truth. And Timo, my friend, thank you." "Did you call him?" Emma asked, first to react out loud as the others shared looks of concerned confusion. "Immediately," Timo replied. "His line was already dead. Whether he switched the phone off or lost signal, I can't be sure. He was still at the Buenos Aires Gravesen last I knew, but I don't think we can trust the security staff there."
"I'd sooner trust Geller herself," Godfrey lamented. "After what those shit stains let happen at Cole's fat little hands last night. So, no, we most decidedly won't reach out to them."
"What do you think Masut is going to do?"
Tara asked, directing it mainly to Timo, but simply hoping that anyone might have a better idea than the blank slate her mind was coming up with.
"And what does he think might go wrong?"
No one answered, leaving Tara even more uncomfortable than before she raised the question. Timo's voice, coming loud and clear through the phone, broke the silence a few seconds later. "In any case, before you fill me in on what happened at the gate, which I'm dying to know, if I may make one suggestion to Godfrey, if he's hearing this?"
"I am," Godfrey replied, biting his tongue for once on the lack of a chairman in Timo's address.
"Good," the Italian said. "I'm just thinking, after what Geller just said, we're going to need serious security at Dortolutepe as a matter of urgency. Remember Tibet a few years ago? The last thing anyone needs are scenes of uniformed security guards roughhousing civilians, but we do need to make sure the site is safe. Can we rely on the Turkish police, or is there any chance Cole and Slater could exert pressure on the government to order them to stand down? It sounds ridiculous, I know. But if those two really are in cahoots with Geller and her puppet masters, then nothing is off the table."
"I'll get on it," Godfrey said. "And it's an excellent point, Timo. Would you like to stay on the line with Dan and Tara while I deal with this? I need to make some calls before the situation develops."
"Absolutely," Timo said. At that point, Godfrey set off to Emma's office of his own accord with barely a glance back to check if she was following. He sought privacy from the others rather than Emma, but wasn't sure he wanted even her to know what reluctant action he was about to take.